You're listening to DraftKings Network.
All right, everybody, Mother's Day is officially around the corner. If mom's gift isn't already on the way, you've got hours, maybe even minutes to get it together. So head over to 1-800-Flowers.com right this second. 1-800-Flowers still has great last-minute deals on handmade bouquets, sweet treats, gourmet food, and one-of-a-kind gifts ordered easily and delivered fresh. You want to get mom something that shows your appreciation for all that she's done? We know you've been a knucklehead. She knows you've been a knucklehead. Please do better. Help your mom feel appreciated this Mother's Day. This is your last chance to lock in these Mother's Day deals. Only good while supplies last. Order today at 1-800-Flowers.com/Dan, D-A-N. That's 1-800-Flowers.com/Dan.
Welcome to the Big Suey, presented by DraftKings.
Why are you listening to this show?
The podcast that seems very similar to the other Dan Le Batard podcast.
I'm sorry, I'm not going to apologize for that.
In fact, the only difference seems to be this imaging.
I have been tempted in restaurants just walking past tables to grab somebody's fries that if they're just there. That hasn't happened to you guys?
I've done it.
And now, here's the marching man to nowhere, Fat Face, and the habitual liar.
I don't know, Stugatz, if you have noticed this, but it is something that has caught my attention recently as we go through another weekend where you cannot keep up with the mass shootings. There are so many of them, and it is a part of such normal daily life in this country that I shouldn't be surprised about what I'm about to say, but it is still surprising to me because I hope for a different kind of ideal. When I am driving past like multiple graduation public places and I see the number of armed guards surrounding what can't be the optics of graduates going down with gunfire, I think to myself, this is not my country, but it is.
Well, it is now,
but
yeah.
It is most obviously. Yes. It is my country more than it is any other country. I don't want to, like, never mind American exceptionalism of believing that our country is somehow better than everybody else's, but we're appreciably worse here in a way that must horrify other countries and think of us as a lawless hellscape that can't protect its children, its churchgoers, its grocery store. Scott's, when you look...
It's not that we can't, Dan. It's that we won't.
Okay.
And that's that's the disturbing part.
Okay,
you
but
know?
can't or won't, there isn't enough movement on any of this stuff, no matter that this weekend, after already lamenting the way we did the horror, the most unspeakable of the horrors, which is the slaying of children, okay? It just was just a weekend of run-of-the-mill, about 10 of them. Like, I was 8 or 9, and there's another one in Tennessee, and they're all over the place. And then fomenting this stuff is the, you know, senatorial candidate endorsed by Trump in Arizona who's saying the problems with guns are black people, frankly. And the divisions being brought upon by others. When you talk about, I don't know if you've seen any of the footage in the Buffalo supermarket, for example, Stugatz, this is not weaponry that's necessary to be hands of civilians under any circumstances. It's like bullets that just make people die on the spot where their bodies don't move at all. It's like the movies. They just die, and then the only time they move again is if you put another bullet in them from the... Like, they're just... This is not a normal thing to be walking around, to be able to walk around with this kind of weaponry that its only tool is to destroy human life.
These are weapons that were made for soldiers who are in the military. That's what they're made for. And that's part of the debate. It's a small part of the debate is why are those weapons available to an 18-year-old kid who simply just turned 18?
I just can't believe that beyond being tired of the debate or politics or gun talk or whatever it is, I can't believe that what we're not tired of is... It can't be 10 in a weekend all over the country after we were just wailing about children being slaughtered. Like, it just, that can't be the country that we don't have the leaders to do anything more active than that other than lament with us. Any action that represents, hey, can we not be the very, very worst at this? Can we do something with our leadership that would make it so that we wouldn't be the worst country in the world at slaughtering each other?
But that's why it's political. Like, this is an entirely political issue. And it's why I think people are starting to get tired of, oh, well, let's take the politics out of it for now. Let's think about the families. This is 100% political. The only means of beginning to solve this problem are a consensus of U.S. congressmen deciding to do something, whether it's voting beyond the filibuster, whether it's changing the minds of Republicans. But common sense gun legislation has already passed the U.S. House of Representatives. It just has to be voted on by the Senate. They're going to vote on more common sense gun legislation this week in the House of Representatives. It will pass. It will die in the Senate. And this is 100% pure politics. Republicans do not view it within their incentives to solve this problem, or at least begin to try to solve this problem. Instead, it's about obfuscating. It's about blaming it on video games. It's about blaming it on mental health. It's about blaming it on race. And there's polling that shows, what do you blame this issue on? And the number of issues on down is vast. There's, you know, percentages on behalf of everything. And the number one is the weapons grade that is out there in public. But it's only at 54%, I saw in a CBS News poll. So it's not as consensus of an issue as we think. And those senators do not view it within their political incentives to change it. So, yeah, this is who we are.
This is
the country that we've asked for.
I wonder if they would how fast the legislation would change if all of a sudden the only ones armed with these kinds of guns were black people. You want to see how quickly things moved on that? If you wanted to see legislation actually move because of the stuff being fomented on fear of the others, where cries for equality are rejected soundly with a no, and let me go get my gun. Let's segue here into some lighter stuff. I don't want to go through weekends where this becomes a normal thing. And it's just like, oh, we had another dozen this week. And there was one in Tennessee last night. Okay.
It's becoming normal, Dan. I mean,
well, no, it's become. It's over 200 of these. It's June, Stugatz. It's over 200 of these since the start of the year. Like we are more screwed up in this realm than any place in the globe.
Here's the CBS News polling. So one question was, do you feel that mass shootings are unfortunately something we have to accept as part of a free society? 28% of Americans believe that that's something we just have to accept as part of a free society. 72% believe it's something we can prevent and stop if we really tried. And then the next question is, why do you think the U.S. has more mass shootings than any other countries? Check all that apply. Number one is it has more availability of guns, but that's only 54% of the CBS News respondents. Second at 47% is it has more people with mental health issues. Third is it has more racial division. Four is the influence of violent movies and video games at 37%. And then you go to its cultural and values. It has more criminals. It's a more free country are the fifth, sixth, and seventh most popular answers. But everyone has a different answer for this. As much as we think that...
No one actually has an answer.
Correct.
For this.
I mean, so I've read statistics that, like, statistically, the United States has around the same amount of people with, like, mental illness than other countries, but we have more shootings per capita. But I find it so deeply depressing and like, ideologically lacking that the same party that blames it on mental illness also is vehemently against any sort of universal health care and cuts spending towards mental health issues. So it really, like Witty said, it's all political. It's all ideologically void. Like, it's just a black abyss of depressing shit when you look at it.
All right, let's move on. Let's assemble the committee, shall we, to get together to finally address what it is that Stugatz has brought up for nomination. He sent me the screenshot this weekend of Joe Musgrove, 8 innings. What was it? Was it one hit or one run?
It was one hit, no runs.
111 pitches, just goes out there and basically says, bleep you, here, eat this. I'm going to keep throwing it up there, and you're going to keep grounding out to the shortstop.
He certainly has a great name. He is certainly built the right way. He goes deep in just about every game. He's a really good pitcher, and I am ready. And I'm not certain we'll have many opportunities to do this moving forward because of the way baseball has changed. But I am ready to declare that Joe Musgrove is a horse. Now, we need a ruling on this, but I believe he is the definition of a horse.
Whittingham, do you have the hierarchy back there? Now, a horse, are you? Do you want to give him caballo status? Because to me, it's different. I thought that the highest form of flattery that we could bestow upon a major league pitcher is the Spanish word caballo, which is Spanish word for horse, which is higher than the English word for horse. Why? Because this is the one place where Latins get to exceed equality. Right here.
Yep.
This is the place. The caballo is a better thing to bestow upon your pitcher as a nickname than merely to make him a horse. But you're not bringing him up here for caballo status, correct? You're bringing him up here.
I mean, that's up to the committee. I am just simply saying I believe that Joe Musgrove is a horse. I'll let the committee
decide.
But
what is the application, though? You're just saying horse. You're not bringing him for the ultimate nomination, which is caballo.
I don't think he's there yet, Dan. Like, he'll go 6 innings, 7 innings. He just went 8 innings. He needs to go 8 or 9 innings a little bit more frequently.
He has like one 8-inning game.
Right,
year,
like Adam Wainwright, okay? He needs to do that.
Nobody goes 8 innings. What kind of standard is this?
6 and 7 is the new 8, but he just went 8.
No.
6 and 7 is the new 8. I'm impressed when someone goes 7 innings. I don't know about you guys.
Guillermo, put it on the poll. Is 6 and 7 innings the new 8 innings?
The guy averages 6 2/3 a start, which in the modern era is pretty damn impressive.
It is. It is a diluted horse, but a Clydesdale nonetheless. Like, if you go a steady 6 2/3, I think the standards have changed so much that you can nominate someone for horse status if they merely go 6 2/3 consistently.
That's the problem. You guys are settling for mediocrity and celebrating it as greatness. 6 innings is great now. GTFOH.
So rejected by you as a committee member on horse? Does Sandy get to be a horse? Is Sandy
closer?
Really?
Well, he's gone 8-4 times this year.
He made his teammates better, maybe.
Sandy.
Well, he's not an ace.
He's not an ace. What? I thought horse was higher than ace.
Well,
wait a minute. Isn't horse higher than ace?
We need
to
go over this again.
Horse is below ace.
It is.
On my hierarchy, yeah.
Really? No. I don't think that's
right. That's not right.
No, ace is above horse. You can be a horse. A horse is like a guy who eats a lot, like pitches a lot of innings.
Verlander's a horse. Yeah. No, it's not
an ace. No, he's a horse and an ace.
That's an innings eater. That's not a horse. That's not a grazer.
A horse is a guy you can ride. Yeah.
Hubba hubba.
Verlander's a horse. What is the hierarchy?
He's also an ace, though. You would agree, right?
Yeah. Can you be a horse?
He might be the last ace.
The last horse ace.
Yeah.
All right, the hierarchy is... from bottom to top, opener, spot starter.
Get opener out of there.
Your friend did that the other day.
We argue
Richard
about
Blyer
this.
What didn't
do you mean?
Work.
What do you, who?
Richard Blyer.
Marlins reliever. He went to high school with him.
Yeah.
Your friend?
Yeah, they went to high school together. Friend. Yeah, they text.
Mm-hmm.
FaceTime him right now.
Get him on the show.
You would say no to him as a guest, probably.
Yeah. Well, not if he's your friend. If we just talked to him about you as a friend, I think that would be a good interview. Normally, I would say no, but put it on the poll, Guillermo. Do you want us to interview Chris's Marlins friend?
It's odd.
So after spot starter, you got 5 innings, 3 earned, innings eater, knuckleballer, ground ball specialist, workhorse.
Knuckleballer is not a classification as a...
Why not?
Why are we arguing about this again? I thought we had already
determined... We're doing levels of a pitcher, and a knuckleballer is just a type of pitcher.
Yeah.
You could be a great knuckleballer, you could be a terrible... You could be...
Who's a great knuckleballer?
Bollocks
list. R.A. Dickey.
He was. Yeah.
He was great for like 2 years.
List is shite.
It's a really good 2 years.
Workhorse, flamethrower, crafty, top of the rotation, horse, ace... God, caballo, caballote.
Okay. Okay.
I have a question, because Tony brought it up back here, Dan. Has there ever been a bad knuckleballer in the majors?
Not in the bigs.
I don't think
Well, I don't think they're good or bad. I think they just go out there and give you an ERA of 4.5, and unless they're R.A. Dickey every once in a while going for the Cy Young or Tim Wakefield. The knuckleballer is dead now, correct? Completely dead. There's no one. Is there anyone throwing the knuckleball now?
Someone has to be throwing.
Yeah.
I would say Tim Wakefield was pretty
None of
bad.
Us have one. We're just like, yeah.
No, there has to
There's
be.
There's got to be. Well, wait a minute. The knuckleballer didn't go extinct without anyone telling us.
As
did
long
it?
As there's breath in my lungs, there's a knuckleballer out there.
Mm-hmm.
Put it on the poll, Guillermo, at Lebatard Show. As long as there is breath in your lungs, will there be a knuckleballer out there?
There should be more, because if you notice, I mean, I don't have any stats to back this, but I don't care. I'm going with it regardless. I would say that the position players that are pitching have a much better ERA than average pitchers do. Because they're all just going out there throwing the ball like 35 miles an hour, and the hitters are so confused that they just get under it, they pop up. Like, nary a run is scored off of a position player. Sometimes, but not always.
I loved when baseball analysis was starting strong. I loved the people who would do the analytics on how a knuckleballer would screw up your hitters the next day. The preparing for a knuckleball would screw you up the next day as well, because you're sitting out there hitting those 45 mile an hour butterflies.
There's nothing that I hated more, like growing up watching the Marlins, than when Jamie Moyer was coming to play against them. And I don't even remember if he was a knuckleballer, if he could just only hit 75.
It was just slop. He was not a knuckleballer.
72.
He was just old, and he threw croutons up.
Anytime there's a knuckleballer or just an old man that could throw the ball really slow, I knew, like, this team can only hit fastballs, and this is going to be a long day and a long week because they're not going to be able to figure it out.
And it's frustrating because you're just seeing these meatballs go over the plate. You're like, how can you not deal with this? This is so slow. Hit the baseball. And yet, Jamie Moyer had a 20-year career. He was 40. He was still pitching.
What is the ruling of the committee? Stugatz is nominated. I need some sort of formal ruling from the committee. He has nominated Joe Musgrove. Billy is passionately against. Chris, are you willing to give him horse status? Because horse status is before ace. Horse is not an ace.
Chris, before you answer, I have good news on the knuckleballer front. There is still one remaining. Mickey Janis of the Orioles is still throwing it.
Okay. The worst team in the league.
He's still out there, though, keeping the species alive. It will not go extinct.
Mickey Janis has only pitched one game in 2021.
In
Major League Baseball.
He's still trying.
Still breath in my lungs.
Yeah. He's currently with the Chicago Dogs of the American Association of Professional Baseball, which I don't think is in Major League Baseball.
So it is extinct.
So it is extinct for now, yeah.
But extinct in the majors doesn't make it extinct as a species.
Yeah, exactly.
This may surprise you, Dan, but there are only 33 pitchers who have ever thrown a knuckleball in a Major League game, according to Wikipedia. I was surprised how small that number was.
I don't think that's wrong, Billy. Why would you think that's wrong?
That's wrong.
Let's all name knuckleballers we can think of and see.
Well,
we'd
never come up with 33 of them. 33 sounds about right to me. It's a terrifying way to make a living. Imagine all these guys. They're just failed pitchers who developed some other.
Failed pitchers.
Someone with like a 15, 20 year career is a failed pitcher.
Yeah. Jimmy Moyer is not a knuckleballer. You made him a knuckleballer just because he throws soft.
Tim Wakefield is a soft tosser. Yeah, across decades.
There are a couple of guys who are exceptions, but largely the knuckleballer is a novelty freak who comes out, and it is hard to make a living that way.
Jeez.
Freak, what are you doing?
I don't like how you're describing these things.
Right. Is it Phil Niekro in the Hall of Fame? I mean.
Is he? I don't think so.
You don't think so?
He is in the Hall of Fame.
319 wins.
There are four knuckleballers.
What was his career?
What's your standard for the Hall of Fame?
No, that's my bad. 274
losses.
No, that's my bad. He just pitched forever, and I should know that.
Nickname Nuxie.
Compiler.
That is a classic compiler right there. Phil Niekro in the Hall of Fame with 300 wins and 280 losses.
Jesus, he pitched for 24 years. He started 716 games.
He had a 3.35 ERA. I mean, that's legit good.
He pitched in Major League Baseball until he was 48.
You're right, Stugatz. I stand corrected. It is my bad. I should have known. I think of Phil and Joe Niekro as the same kind of pitchers, and they are not. Joe Niekro was not a Hall of Famer, and Phil Niekro was. But go ahead and Google image search Phil Niekro so you can see. Please, enjoy. I want you visually to enjoy what he looked like in a Braves uniform. And you tell me if that is a baseball Hall of Famer, the way that you look at bodies today.
It's like Christopher Lloyd.
You need.
He does.
He looks like Gary Busey in that movie with Henry Rowengardner. What was it, Rookie of the Year?
He looks like a bit. Also, Gaylord Perry looked like this too. The old pitcher in the movie Major League, the old slop ball thrower. he's just an old man on the mound, is what he is. Jessica, what is your opinion here?
He looks like a retired chemistry
Wait a
professor.
Minute.
Yes, yeah,
that's him when he's still playing.
His hair is so long, and I think it's coming out of his ears.
He's wearing a polo under that shirt. Listen, that can't be right.
This is what.
He looks like Uncle Dick.
Listen, when you could throw the knuckleball all the way
from
the
line, right? He did.
You could pitch
it's
forever.
The ear hair.
Yeah. Yep.
Chris.
He could be my dad's brother. And that's when he's still playing, you're telling me.
What is 5 o'clock shadow when it's no longer a shadow and it's just permanent stubble on your face?
Chris, that was his prime.
Which uniform is he in there, Chris? Because he wore a lot of different uniforms. Is that the Braves uniform? Because
Braves.
The reason I have underestimated him as not a Hall of Famer, Chris, is specifically because of how I remember him looking at the end. And I'm like, that can't be a Hall of Famer. Like, that simply can't. It's an old man who shouldn't be wearing a baseball uniform.
It's really the ear hair he needs to get trimmed. It's just... too long.
I would not
it's
let
not a
that
good
person,
hair shape.
I would not let that person in my house to fix the plunge, you know, something with the plumbing. That person needs to go and get me somebody else.
Joe Negro, by the way, was 221 and 204.
mean, the Negroes would go out there and eat the innings, and they would win one time, and then they'd lose one time, and they'd win one time, and then they'd lose one time, and you wouldn't win anything with them. But Phil would have a 3.5 ERA, which, yes, Hall of Fame.
You're so right about it being a terrifying way to make a living, though, because every once in a while you see Tim Wakefield throw a flat knuckleball, and it doesn't do the knuckleball thing.
Wait.
And it is absolutely
Chris,
destroyed.
Chris,
you have to get it right every time.
Wait, yes. I want both Chris's, both of you, I want you both to look at me right now. And I want the Google image search that you just did, the least flattering one, that Phil Negro has. I want you to imagine him releasing one of those 64-mile-an-hour old man flutter balls, and now Giancarlo Stanton has decided to hit it straight up the middle.
No, he wouldn't catch up to it. Stanton would not hit a knuckle. Yeah. Trust me, that's going back to what I was telling you. Stanton could not hit that.
Especially if it was low and away.
But he'd stare at that 72-mile-an-hour fastball right down the middle, though, because he's guessing knuckleball. That's what Stanton would do. Work fine with Stan. We don't have any problems.
Yeah, no,
with
it's fine.
Okay.
Then, let this go.
Then
this
somebody
healthy.
Else who hits the ball 115 miles
Aaron
an hour.
Judge.
Back to the mound.
Oh, he'd crush it, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, everybody. Mother's Day is officially around the corner. If mom's gift isn't already on the way, you've got hours, maybe even minutes, to get it together. So head over to 1-800-Flowers.com right this second. 1-800-Flowers still has great last-minute deals on handmade bouquets, sweet treats, gourmet food, and one-of-a-kind gifts ordered easily and delivered fresh. You want to get mom something that shows your appreciation for all that she's done? We know you've been a knucklehead. She knows you've been a knucklehead. Please do better. Help your mom feel appreciated this Mother's Day. This is your last chance to lock in these Mother's Day deals. Only good while supplies last. Order today at 1-800-Flowers.com/Dan, D-A-N. That's 1-800-Flowers.com/Dan.
Hey, listeners, it's Mike Ryan, and I've changed a lot over the course of 20 years that you've known me. I've gone from unlikable to, well, my hair has changed. But my point is, while a lot's changed over our relationship, there's one thing that hasn't changed one bit. And that's a great taste of Miller Lite. Another thing that hasn't changed is that it's less filling. So what's the best thing about the original light beer? Miller Lite has sparked this debate way back in 1975, and we still haven't settled it. They keep it simple. It's got undebatable quality, great taste, 96 calories, you know all those things. It's a beer that strips everything away that you don't need and holds on to what matters most. But with Miller Lite, you don't have to choose what's best. Miller Lite has great taste and is less filling. It's both those things. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Don Libertard.
Did you ever have a crush on a cartoon character?
Oh, can I go? This isn't my question, but I did.
Huh.
Jessica Rabbit. Who Framed Roger Rabbit?
Yes. Yes, I think
she was married to Roger Rabbit, even though he was a bunny and she was a humanoid, but they were both cartoons.
Stugatz.
I had a crush on Betty Rubble.
Oh, wow.
What? What?
That's pretty good. I mean, that's pretty good, man. That's pretty good.
Whoa, with a surprise nomination from Stugantz. Showing you his dirty, dirty inner nine-year-old.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugantz.
We're presented by DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app today and use code DAN for a special offer when you sign up. That's code DAN, only at DraftKings Sportsbook.
I'm wondering if you guys, as Quinn Snyder steps down, Stugantz.
What about Musgrove?
I think we decided that he was a horse, but not an ace. I think we were okay.
No, he's not a horse.
Billy, no.
He's not top five in innings.
No, he's not a horse. No. He's good.
Yeah. All right.
He does have one start fewer than most of the guys towards the top. Ooh. I think if you do it on a per innings basis, he's probably one of the or per start basis, he's probably one of the most
Chris Cody eating ask Tim Kirchen and ask Boog Shambi and don't give them any explanation. Are we okay describing elevating Musgrove to horse?
And are there any knuckleballers anywhere?
Right.
Yes, ask them both questions. But Andy Larson on the Quinn Snyder thing, Stugantz, and I think Jessica is still someone here who cares about journalism-ing as it relates to the coverage of sports. So when Andy Larson reports the following, to spell out the situation, CAA represented Donovan Mitchell had CAA represented Woj release that Donovan Mitchell was, quote, surprised and disappointed about Quinn's departure, something that's been rumored for months. Exactly zero people are surprised, so that CAA represented Johnny Bryant can get the job. What do you guys do with the fact that these agencies, whether it be Clutch or CAA or your Knicks are run by one of these agencies,
yep,
that they've got their tentacles into so much of the player movement, the player power, the player storyline, that Andy Larson is basically accusing Woj here of doing the bidding of the agency in order to, frame this story in a way that is more palatable to the masses.
It'd be really crazy if Andy Larson was rep by CAA too.
I'm actually kind of amazed that a reporter, a beat reporter in a small market like Salt Lake City, would have a go at someone who could potentially be a source. Because you're basically putting out the business that this is what's about to happen, and it would look really bad now if the Utah Jazz went and hired this coach, because it would look like a completely orchestrated move by Donovan Mitchell. Like, I'm kind of surprised that the reporter was willing to be honest and forthright here, because that's honestly not a lot of... You don't see a lot of that kind of coverage, like basically completely revealing how the sausage is made. It's why Basketball Illuminati on our Le Batard and Friends podcast network is so illuminating, is because they do bring you a lot of that information. But this feels like a top-down CAA orchestration to get Donovan Mitchell more power in a place that he might leave anyway.
That's bad, though. Like, beat reporters should not have to worry about being shunned from access or from sources by just reporting the news. Like, I don't know if it ever used, like, journalism ever used to be, like, pure in its form, but it does seem like the leagues have gotten more sensitive to beat reporters and smaller outlets, like, having access after they say something that the leagues or the teams don't like. And I think that that's just terrible in general for media and for fans.
And honestly, I wouldn't be surprised if this reporter just did this because he might have already pissed off the Mitchell camp. So it's like, what do I care?
I've thought about this for a long time because I've watched, as at these games, these seats courtside that used to go to media members who were selling the game to the country have been, the media has been kicked out so that the good seats can go to rich people who are needed, whose money is needed. Do any of these people, Donovan Mitchell, or anyone like him, do they need to care about the media at all? Like, do they need, what value do beat reporters have in the modern age? The coverage, I know you want people writing about your team, but it seems like they're going to do it whether they have access to the players or not.
Well, that's, I think, how they've gotten away with it, because now you don't really need them. You don't need the coverage as much as you used to when, like, the teams were a lot smaller and localized. But I would argue that having a healthy, cynical media outlet attached to your team is good, because it's just a healthy thing to have. But if you're hiding something, you're obviously not going to want that.
Well, but wait a minute. You're saying it's a healthy thing from the perspective of...
of, like, everyday people who consume league coverage. Okay, but that's, I mean...
But that's your viewpoint as a consumer. You're giving yes. what you want, but why would the leagues or Donovan Mitchell or the teams at all need us anymore, given that they all have their own platforms, they all have their own branding, and...
Yes, I agree. That's why it's changed, I think, because they don't need you to write a column in the newspaper to get coverage. There's, like, 24/7 access to all of these teams. They have their own media team. Like, every team now has its own media department that creates content, which is basically just propaganda about itself. And, like, they're perfectly happy doing that, because then if anything bad happens behind the scenes, you as a fan might not even know about it, because unless you're reading the local paper where the reporter might have access to that story, and might write about it without fear of being retaliated against, you won't even know about it. But that's becoming less and less common, I think. I also, like, I wonder about if the reason that so many of the investigations about, like, the Commanders and Deshaun Watson and all the national stories are coming from national reporters and not from local beat reporters anymore. And I think it's a combination of the fact that local news has been decimated by big companies and by media conglomerates. And so they don't have, like, if you're a beat reporter, you can't take a month to investigate a story because you need a certain amount of output these days. And also because those people are more at risk of getting their credential denied if they report something that a team doesn't like.
Yeah, local coverage is absolutely, but it's also like it's the game of, if you don't have a good relationship with the team in your city, then you sort of, at a certain point, cease to be of use to your outlet, right? Like, if you can't bring anything exclusive to the table, then what are you bringing to the table? And I think that's the trade that a lot of reporters make, where it's, all right, not going to report this because I need this relationship. I need this source. I'm kind of amazed that this guy went out on this ledge. But I do think, Dan, to argue what you were saying, which is that they don't need us, then why is Donovan Mitchell trying to spin a narrative that he was surprised? Like, if he doesn't need the media, why is there a piece in ESPN describing him as surprised when, like, the Quinn Snyder thing has been out there for months? Why is he trying to spin a narrative if he doesn't feel like a narrative needs to be spun?
Well, he wants it out there that he's not the reason. I mean, I'm not the reason that Quinn Snyder was fired. I'm not the reason this guy's going to get hired.
Fire off a tweet. I didn't want Quinn Snyder fired. You, like, in this media ecosystem, you
could
do
that. I guess you're right, yeah.
But it has to be reported through an insider so that it has the credibility of, this is what's actually happening behind the scenes, and Donovan Mitchell can spin his narrative.
Okay, but if we want to go back to the original story of what it is that I presented to you guys, because you took it in a number of different places that weren't the place that I was asking you about. Do you have any objection, as someone who's listening to this, to the idea that your team, a team, or that team, that the sausage is made with Donovan Mitchell being represented by CAA, Woj being used as a representative of CAA, if indeed you think these parts are being used to tell you a story that's not exactly true? It's just the story that they want told. And if he needs the credibility of a reporter to do it, if that's the one thing that he still needs, at what cost does that credibility start getting stained when you start putting these pieces together and showing everybody, hey, you know why Woj, or part of the reason he's an insider? It's because he's connected up here with these pieces that are actually the power brokering pieces that tell the story.
That's still on the inside, though, Dan.
It is on the inside, but Stugatz, last time we checked in, and this kind of skated weirdly, Windhorse was reporting, hey, Simmons to Harden is happening, and Woj is running up and down the hallways of ESPN yelling, that's not happening, it's not accurate, and he's yelling about it for 24 hours. A colleague who'd reported the accurate thing, and it's like, okay, well, what's the truth? Because I got insiders, and when there are this many compromises, this many conflicts, don't you think the truth gets lost? Because I'm sitting here trying to look at, like, isn't the truth what should matter here when it comes to the reporting of these things? Or is it okay that everyone's compromised? No one cares. This is the way the sausage is made. It's all entertainment. And I don't care what's true or not. I want to live my life like Stugatz. The truth doesn't matter. Just what I think is the truth matters.
The truth has been lost on me for many, many decades. I don't care about the truth. You know when you find out the truth, Dan, when Donovan Mitchell, when the guy gets fired, Quinn Snyder, and the new coach comes in, you'll know the truth. You'll know that it was Donovan Mitchell. You'll know that Woj was a part of it. You'll know that the agency had a hand in it. No, I don't. But I don't care about journalism the way you do, or Smetty does, or Whittingham does.
But how about the truth?
I don't care about the truth the way you do.
Okay.
I mean,
but also,
in most cases, I should clarify that. Yeah.
But also, if you're a Utah Jazz fan and you see the writing on the wall that Donovan Mitchell doesn't want to be there anymore, and this is the context that's being formed for why he's not going to be there anymore, then the truth matters to you. Like, if you're a fan of that team, and I understand that maybe the fans of the other 29 teams don't care. If you're just a general NBA fan, you might not care. You just, where's Donovan Mitchell playing? Fair enough. But if you actually care about the Utah Jazz, and Donovan Mitchell is figuring out, like other stars have before, how do I lay the context out for my departure? I could understand why those fans would be upset and would read that tweet from that beat reporter and go, oh, I'm being played here. And I don't think a lot of people, once they find out that they're being played, like being played.
Well, and you're the customer. This is what I'm telling you. This is the questions I'm asking you are about the truth, and now put your emotional investment in it. I'll move off this subject because we have spent precious little time talking about Quinn Snyder, unless it's to make fun of his appearance. I don't even know how to assess his tenure. Like, he won all the time and never enough. Goodbye, Quinn Snyder.
Like, they kept
winning and winning and winning all the time. And I didn't know Donovan Mitchell was that good. Oh, look, Donovan Mitchell is that good. Oh, Gobert and Mitchell. That's pretty good. That'll get you close. Not close enough. Goodbye, Quinn Snyder.
They were the one seed last year, I believe. Lost to the Clippers in the Western Conference semifinals without Paul George or without Kawhi Leonard. Right? Yeah. One of those two?
I think it was without Kawhi.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was basically the end of that era. They tried to go for another year.
Right.
I also should clarify what Stu said, because Quinn Snyder was not fired. He decided not to renew his contract.
Yeah, step down.
He was offered a significant extension, and he didn't want to take it for, you know, if he feels like regime change is coming, because it certainly feels like, we talked about blowing up the Heat earlier, the Utah Jazz are the prime candidate to be blown up this offseason. And he might not want to be around for that, and feels like he has enough cash to go take a better job.
The headline was step down. The headline was not fired. Fired was not the headline. It's just over for him in Utah. And I don't know. I mean, we don't have to spend any more time talking about the Utah Jazz, but I do present in front of the audience. I'd like to know what all of those conflicts are. I'm okay with the consumer being discerning. I'd just like to show me all of it so that I can make my own decisions on who I believe to be credible here or not. But I don't know, Stugatz. What do you do when Windhorst is running down one hallway in ESPN saying Simmons for Harden is done, it's happening, and Woj is for 24 hours saying that's not happening, that reporting is wrong? Like, when I present those two things,
battle of credibility right there. I mean, I don't listen. You care about it more than I do. I believe Windhorst when he says that deal is done. But I'd also believe Woj if he were saying it. I mean, they're both very credible guys. I don't know what to do, but I don't care. Like, when it happens, it happens, and then I'll know. I don't need to know before it happens.
I want to just write a transcript of the last, like, four sentences.
Yeah, it was just gibberish. It was amazing gibberish. Chris,
it's
Cody.
It's confusing all of it.
You told me you don't care.
Is Woj any less credible? Is Windhorst more credible? Who's the most credible?
You don't want to think about it. Yes, and I don't care if it's true. Put it on a shirt.
We'll figure it out,
Angel,
at some point. Yeah.
Put it on a shirt. Give me my news, and I don't care if it's true. Chris Cody, why were you appalled by what a woman in the grocery store was doing with a watermelon?
That's funny you say this. Because I actually did research on it after, and she actually was doing something kind of smart. What? But this is what I see. All right, so I'm at Trader Joe's yesterday, I'm a late bloomer on this. I like Trader Joe's.
Nice.
Yeah, it's good. Put it on the poll, Guillermo. Do you like Trader Joe's?
What's your favorite Trader Joe's, like, frozen food thing?
Ooh, I have these hash browns.
The hash browns are fire.
Yeah. The hash browns.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Next level.
I saw it on TikTok. You make, like, avocado toast with the little hash browns.
Oh, avocado toast hash brown?
Yeah.
Oh.
Jessica won't shut up about, where's the chicken salad? Is it Fresh Market or is it somewhere else?
Fresh Market, right? Fresh Market, that's what it's called. I don't know, they don't have them in New York, Dan, but I found one here, Miami Beach, the chicken salad. It has no business.
You should try the wings.
Yeah, the wings are excellent.
Oh,
only in the cold.
Yeah.
Did we get to the origins of why it is that they're buffalo wings? I would like to get back to that. And also, Chris Cody has talked to Tim Kirkchin.
I do.
So we've got some
chicken salad
results.
Is a hot weather food. Buffalo wings are a cold weather food. Continue with your Trader Joe's watermelon.
But back to watermelon. So the other day, before this trip to Trader Joe's, I bought a watermelon because it's a lot cheaper to buy an entire watermelon. But it's a lot of work. Big pain in the ass. No, I know it's obviously cheaper, but it's so much cheaper that it's like, you know what? I'm going to try this. Let me see if it's worth it. Not worth it. I'd rather pay triple the price for Oh my God.
No, once you start slicing it up.
I have a fridge filled with watermelon. I could sell so much watermelon right now if I need. It's so unnecessary.
Okay, wait.
Right.
So you are saying wait a minute.
It's not worth it, Dan.
You are saying that nothing involved with the whole watermelon is worth it because if you buy a small container of watermelon, just
it's like $9
in cubes. It's going to be about $9. And if you bought your own watermelon,
it was $5 for the entire watermelon. And I got probably 7 or 8 times the amount that I would get. They're seeds.
And you say none of it is worth it, though.
I it was such a mess. And then now I have all this watermelon I have to stuff my fridge with. Now I have no room for anything else because I have so much watermelon in there. It's just, no, it was not at the end of the day.
Take me through the decision.
It was not worth it.
So take me
my daughter, daddy, I want that watermelon. I was like, oh, I've never done this with you. All right, I'll grab a watermelon.
You've never bought a whole watermelon before?
No.
You're like in your 30s. Wait, you've never bought a watermelon?
Who does that when it's sliced?
No. I buy sliced watermelon.
I buy watermelon all the time. Pre-cut fruit is the biggest scam in the entire
It's such a ripoff.
In
such
the entire
ripoff.
Supermarket
But I get it
industry.
Now because it's such a pain in the
Listen
ass to
what
carve
Chris
yourself.
Is saying. Yeah.
You literally just cut it and then you like clean your counter off and you save $5.
Yeah. But where do you put all that watermelon?
You bury the seeds. You get a watermelon tree. Yeah.
Make a margarita out of it.
I looked up a YouTube hack on how to do it. I have these, like, half of the watermelon is just little watermelon pops. You ever do that? You ever do that way?
A YouTube hack on how to cut a watermelon?
Yeah, I've never done it before. Yeah. You guys don't YouTube everything the first time you do it?
Yes.
I bought a watermelon. I'm like, what's the best way? So I'm not just, like, you know, hacking at this thing. And I did half of it this, like, cool, trendy way where I have a bunch of, they're really cool. It's like a bunch of just, like, popsicles.
Are they cool?
Yeah, little watermelon popsicles.
Delicious little snacks.
And then the other half, I just did the standard size where you have, like,
but you've got
your pizza
a fridge
slice.
Filled with watermelon, which isn't even what the woman was doing with the watermelon in the store.
This got me interested in watermelon. So now this was like 4 or 5 days ago when I carved the watermelon. Now I end up at Trader Joe's yesterday just doing a normal shopping thing. And I'm like, oh, look, there's the watermelons. I see this lady. She's like listening. She's like got her ear on the watermelon and she's tapping on it. Yeah.
She's not picking up the watermelon. No. She is leaning up to the
first
produce
she's caressing.
Aisle.
First she's like rubbing it. She's like, is this how's it feel? How's the texture of this thing? Apparently you're supposed to look for, if it has like a yellow patch on the watermelon, that's a good sign for your watermelon.
Yeah.
Also, I Googled this after. So I saw this lady. I was like, that's
but she's
weird.
Listening to it like somebody was
tapping on it.
Like a shell listening to the ocean.
She's tapping on it. And apparently, I Googled it because I was like, if I'm going to talk about this on the show, I want to like have some knowledge here. Yeah. Apparently, you want, because normally I would just start talking about this shit and not really think about it. So I was like, let me do some prep. Let me Google.
So you did the watermelon.
I Googled listening. I Googled listening to a watermelon. And apparently, you want a watermelon with a lot of water in it. Yeah. No, not a lot of. You want it to sound hollow.
Jesus Christ.
Retention.
Regardless of
whether there's water or not.
He looked it up.
The sound you're going for, you want hollow. You
want
to listen?
You want it to bounce and like vibrate.
If you tap it and you hear hollow, that's a good watermelon. Yeah, pick me.
Right. Take me home. Yeah.
I was just like, that is so odd. The lady with all the confidence in the world was just listening to a watermelon. But
And touching it.
And touching it. Yeah, that's
another
thing.
You get your hands off the watermelon I might buy if you don't buy it.
Wow.
How's that sound?
Well, we've played this game before. I've asked you guys before if I'm allowed to fondle fruit before I
Yes, 100%.
Put it on the poll. Would you immediately buy, put on the poll, please, at Levitard Show, would you immediately buy a watermelon that had someone's ear on it seconds earlier? Someone else's ear.
Ear to the watermelon.
I am not doing that. I am going to the next watermelon that hasn't had an ear placed.
But now
on it.
I get, because in this YouTube video it said wash the watermelon before you carve it. But I'm thinking to myself, I'm not going to eat the outer. I'm not going to eat.
But there's germs on the skin.
That's, I get it now. And ear germs, apparently.
Yeah.
Like it all made sense a couple days later at Trader Joe's. I'm like, that's why they want you to wash it.
You
because this lady's ears all over this damn thing.
You eat watermelon seeds now, right? Like, that's an old wives' tale. Like, they used to tell you, like, oh, you eat a black watermelon seed, there's going to be a watermelon plant that grows out of your lower
intestine. That's true.
If you don't buy the full watermelon, do you go slices or cubes? What's your preference? I like slices.
Like the pizza slice?
Yeah, like a pizza slice. Guys, yeah, like six slices.
You guys are, though, you really are the height of spoiled. That if it's not cubed for you, you don't want the other one that gives you 7 and 8 times the value as watermelon, because now you've got too much watermelon in your fridge.
Because you're cutting a bunch of watermelons?
I mean, not the one out here who is saying that I, for the first time, has tried the watermelon and it's such a hardship that I would be willing now to pay $10 for 7 watermelon cubes. I'm not the one this morning who has a fridge full of watermelon and has discovered
way too much watermelon.
And has discovered the
I brought
joys.
It to my parents' house yesterday. I'm like, take watermelon because I just have
you're handing
way
it out.
Too much.
You're the watermelon fairy of the neighborhood.
They should just sell half watermelons too. I'd buy more watermelons if you could. I just
half
way too big. What do I need all this watermelon for?
The only reason to buy the normal size one is if you're feeding a family of six, because otherwise, would it be preferable, Dan, if I, instead of buying the cubes, bought a big watermelon and it all went bad? Is that preferable? Yeah. You buy the cubes, the prepackaged watermelon, so you're not putting
just
watermelon to waste.
Just buy a different
waste.
Fruit if you don't have. If they only have giant watermelons and you're one person, just
are there
buy
small watermelons
fruit.
I'm unaware
yes,
of?
Yes, there are.
Where are there small watermelons?
I've seen small watermelons.
Yeah, me too.
Put it on the poll, Guillermo. Are there Seedless. Small watermelons?
There are. They're cute.
Very cute.
All right, everybody, Mother's Day is officially around the corner. If mom's gift isn't already on the way, you've got hours, maybe even minutes, to get it together. So head over to 1-800-Flowers.com right this second. 1-800-Flowers still has great last-minute deals on handmade bouquets, sweet treats, gourmet food, and one-of-a-kind gifts ordered easily and delivered fresh. You want to get mom something that shows your appreciation for all that she's done? We know you've been a knucklehead. She knows you've been a knucklehead. Please do better. Help your mom feel appreciated this Mother's Day. This is your last chance to lock in these Mother's Day deals. Only good while supplies last. Order today at 1-800-Flowers.com/Dan, D-A-N. That's 1-800-Flowers.com/Dan.
Hey, listeners, it's Mike Ryan, and I've changed a lot over the course of 20 years that you've known me. I've gone from unlikable to, well, my hair has changed. But my point is, while a lot's changed over our relationship, there's one thing that hasn't changed one bit. And that's a great taste of Miller Lite. Another thing that hasn't changed is that it's less filling. So what's the best thing about the original light beer? Miller Lite has sparked this debate way back in 1975, and we still haven't settled it. They keep it simple. It's got undebatable quality, great taste, 96 calories, you know all those things. It's a beer that strips everything away that you don't need and holds on to what matters most. But with Miller Lite, you don't have to choose what's best. Miller Lite has great taste and is less filling. It's both those things. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.